People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
What do you want now?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Leave me alone. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. You know which one I am. Thank you for being here. Good night, everybody. Oh, I didn't do the show yet. I forgot that. I'll do one now. Okay. All right. Sit down. Every once in a while, I do a show that is off the beaten path. Sounds like every show's off the beaten path. The path has been thoroughly beaten. Today's show is different. I have an extended interview with a gentleman who has written a book. And I usually don't do interviews like this, I must say. I try to keep it light and fluffy, like an over-egged pancake. But today, this gentleman has written a book about life. Didn't really want to narrow it down, I suppose, but like, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? What's our purpose? Oh my God, so heavy. I get into heavy stuff every once in a while, don't you? Like when you're in a quiet corner, don't you just ponder this stuff? I know you do. And the older you get, the more you ponder. A lot of pondering going on. I don't get into religion much because I believe religion should be a very private thing. I just do. I think organized religion is cultish, no matter how you slice the meaning. It is. Not that all cults are bad under those circumstances, but when you have organized things and there's money involved and there's power, I'm not into it, man. Most of the wars are because of religion. You know, I like your religion. You don't, well, then you're going to hell if you don't like my religion. You know, it's like anything else. So I don't get into it. Spirituality, whole different ball game. But my guest and I see the same as far as one's worth in life. I talk about that every once in a while on the show myself. So as we fringe upon religion during this conversation, of which I tend not to want to discuss because it is so personal to every single person, yet we do get into it here and there. So it's a little bit weird for me. I kind of held back a little bit during the interview. We recorded this yesterday. That's just where it's at. Okay, we're going to speak to our guest momentarily, but before we do, so we don't get right into it, I'm going to have a short commercial break, and then we're going to figure out the meaning of life if you have nothing else to do and you've already had a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll be right back after this short but lovely word.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques. Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats. Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, There is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Del H. Smith joins us now. He's an author and also a, well, let's say a spiritual discoverer. How's that, Del?
That's a good word. All right. I like it.
I like it because it encompasses a lot of things. Del's kind of deep, to be honest with you, and every once in a while, those of us that are introspective, and that's most of us at some point in our lives, try to figure out, like, what is this all about? Why are we here? What are we supposed to do? What's the explanation? And I guess every once in a while that enters your mind, Del.
Well, in fact, yes, but it's been kind of the focus of my mind for about a little over two decades.
Yeah.
Of research. Like, I just couldn't get rid of it. And yeah. Most people don't have the time for that. And so what we want to focus on is simpler tips. But yeah, it's an obsession with me.
Yeah. A lot of people walk around confused. I'm from a generation where you had to find yourself as if you were lost. And I guess that's still the case, but we don't refer to it in that sense anymore.
That's it. Yeah. Right. I think it still is the case. Mm-hmm. I think everybody is lost and everybody's trying to find.
Yeah.
And as you say, at times, because our lives are so busy just managing, our jobs and our families and everything, it's hard to spend the time.
Yeah.
Other than the question. So we want to focus on some practical things that mm-hmm. can be done, in a day or so, rather than two decades.
Okay. And what are the results when you do set your mind to think in a certain way, a certain perspective? What are the good or bad ramifications?
Well, I would say the good ramification is if you can direct it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's extremely powerful. Like, it's giving you that answer that eludes most people.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main benefit. The second thing is that, there's life has no do-overs.
Right.
we sort of got to get a good idea about this while we're still alive, And if you feel that life doesn't end mm-hmm. at death, then really what our purpose is to prepare for that eternal life, which is a lot more important than our current lives.
Well, yes. But our current lives means if you go through life with a smile on your face or whether you struggle, I guess that's really the bottom line.
Yeah. I think so, Ron. And I think one thing that makes one question that is really a good question to ask, I think.
Uh-huh.
Is your life's purpose, has it been predetermined mm-hmm. by the creator of your life? Or is it something that you've got to make up?
Mm-hmm.
Now when you ask that question, then you need to pursue, first of all, does that make sense? Like, if somebody created something, they must have had something in mind for it. What do you think of that concept?
It's possible. Anything's possible. I guess. But one would discover what might have been in mind for them. Isn't that part of the journey?
Yes, indeed, mm-hmm. indeed. But it directs the journey.
Uh-huh.
Because then you start focusing not so much on what you want to do, raise a good family, give mm-hmm. back to the community, a lot of good goals like that.
Mm-hmm.
But life's purpose, there might be more to it.
There might be, yeah.
Yeah, there might be. And so that's what we pursue. That's what I've been pursuing for, as I said, over a couple of decades. And so when you're ready, I really want to make sure that we do get a chance to talk about, you know, some specific things that people can do.
Well, let's do that now, because I think people are now set the foundation. Better. So how do we reach those satisfaction goals?
Okay. All right. So I'm going to offer five things and then expand a little bit on each.
All right.
First thing is reasoning, master reasoning, and I'll tell what I mean by that. Explore spirituality, read voraciously, and I'll give you a menu. Surf the internet, but with very good discretion, very sure discretion, as everybody knows. And so let's look at those.
Okay.
When I was doing my research, I didn't know anything about philosophy or reasoning. And someone directed me to it, and I spent a few years looking at it. And I discovered that reasoning has two aspects. It's much simpler to master than most people think. And it provides knowledge that is as sound as any knowledge humans possess. In other words, as sound as science. Like people think, well, science says that I know it's true. Well, if reasoning says it, you know it's true. And so it's quite simple. And in fact, I've kind of got a primer and examples of that reasoning in chapter 13 of the book that you were talking about, Discovering Life's Purpose. So that's a good start. Look at that reasoning and say, where does that direct me? Should I go to the second one, or do you want to talk about that a little bit more?
No, let's go to the second, so make sure we can cover all of them first.
Yeah, okay, sure. So spirituality, so reasoning is using your mind, your head.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people say we need to connect. We need to connect with the Creator, with the great power, as spiritualists call it. And that's a very, for me anyway, it was a very difficult concept to kind of take on. But it is quite interesting, and it provides, you know, it explores whether you can you feel a connection, can you seek a connection and feel it, and a little introduction to that is on video 20 of the video channel on my blog, which is delhsmith.com.
Okay.
Spirituality is using your heart and your feeling, whereas reasoning is using your mind.
Right.
The third thing I would say is read voraciously. There's so many different positions that are taken on life's purpose. For instance, atheists, which we explore in chapter 12 in my book. The Bible, which most people reject for very good reasons, but which I re-examine in chapter 14 and 15 of the book. Of course, science, as we talked about, and other religions. Other religions have bits of wisdom scattered among them, just like all religions do.
Right.
And you don't have to accept their teachings, but it's not a bad idea to explore them, because they've been thinking about it a lot longer than we have.
Yes.
So those are really kind of the top three. And in summary, what I would say is, when you're doing that reading and when you're assembling all these conflicting ideas and kind of noting them and saying, okay, what have I learned? Look at those ideas and say, which ones make more sense to me and which ones reinforce each other?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this idea leads me to this conclusion. Oh, and this idea does too. Well, the more ideas that lead you to the conclusion you're searching for, the sounder your conclusion can be. So I don't know whether that makes sense, but I found that to be very effective once you've started. You know, it doesn't work until you have started to assemble all these ideas, but it's very powerful when you have.
That all makes sense. I will say that I believe, you know, the feeling of a first love, that we all remember that. Sometimes it was a long time ago. That warmth inside is literally a connection to something. It's it's both mind and heart. And if you get that through religion, God love you. I mean, that's wonderful. Live with that feeling. That's great. What I've learned is that there are so many different religions. That's why I use the word spiritual, because we have to respect each other's whatever connection they are, because they are personal connections. And if they work, they work. And if they don't, you explore to find the one that does. I think it's all respect. It's all respect, because in some religions, if you're not my religion, then there's something wrong with you. No. You know, it's just, I think respect's like the bottom line to everything.
Yeah, I think respect and openness.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
You know, like, you know, to open your mind, explore other people's things. Because, I'm with you there 100%.
All right.
But I would say never stop searching. Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong journey for sure.
Yeah, it sure is. What makes one feel good about themselves? I always thought that if you have some kind of talent or something that you do really, really well, and you know you can do it well, and people tell you can do it well, then you've accomplished. You've found your niche and your reason, and I think that is important to find, because we all have one. I'm sure we do.
I'm sure we do too, and for sure that's important.
Yeah.
It might not be life's purpose, but it certainly is a critical aspect of our life. You know, we've got to find the thing that gives us fulfillment.
Yeah.
And if you do nail down a position that you make sense to you about life's purpose, then one of those fulfillments is just, okay, how do I more fully live that, whatever I've determined that to be,
You know what I wanted to talk to you about? What stops us from those fulfillments? What stops us from finding that purpose? And I found it's childhood. It's the way that you were raised. If you were abused, if your parents were alcoholics, if you were an orphan, if there were too many in the family and you never got what you wanted, you ran away from home, you spend your whole life trying to somehow mentally correct that as an adult. And that's the struggle of life. And you're kind of dissuaded from really doing your own thing because you spend so much time dealing with what you went through as a child. Do you find that to be accurate?
Yes, I find it to be very common. Like we're all products of our heredity and our environment.
Yes.
And there, you know, we don't get a choice on either one of
those.
So we got to deal with whatever that is. And there's an expression there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, if I look at somebody and they're not making sense to me, probably because they experienced a whole bunch of heredity environment that I missed.
Correct.
You know, and maybe to my advantage.
Correct.
You know, we're all affected by that. Yeah. I was affected by an agnostic father and a mother who couldn't believe. She just had too much doubt. She couldn't get her head around a belief.
Mm-hmm.
That influenced it a bit. My scientific training influenced it a bit, because I was trained not to accept anything on intuition or faith or belief. You know, it had to be proven. So all those things can get, things like that can get in your way. And especially some of the ones you've mentioned, like the trauma of a bad upbringing, exposure to crime and drugs and all kinds of things can mess up a person's life.
Yeah, but then we find stories such as yourself. Well, you didn't, you know, the life of crime or anything, but you find stories where people do turn it around and say, well, that was my childhood. That's not going to be my adulthood. And they do turn it around. And I guess you wonder where does that strength come from to be able to do that? Because most people can't.
Yeah, that's a really good question because, like, I've seen people who have turned it around amazingly.
Yeah.
And you would say, based on their background, they're never going to be able to achieve it.
Right.
And, you know, I think you need encouragement to do it. I think you need people who believe in you. You need to associate yourself with people you feel are, you know, could get you past what you've lived with all your life.
Yeah.
I can't really say, give a prescription, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of have lived it to know what it takes to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Good point. There is a book involved. where we can go through all of this. Let's talk about the book itself.
Well, thank you.
It's called Discovering Life's Purpose, Reexamining the Club.
Yeah. And the discovering is the idea of discovering life's purpose is the concept we talked about earlier, that your purpose in life, your main purpose, your fulfilled purpose, has been pre-established by your creator. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have to discover it rather than try and make it up.
Okay.
That's the thesis of the book. Mm-hmm. And it lays out a lot of reasons for thinking that way, mm-hmm. and ways to determine what that predetermined purpose is and how you can more fully live it.
Okay.
And reexamine the club part is the thing that I put that in there because I wanted to appeal to people that have given up on religion.
Mm-hmm.
The club is my name for the multi-denominational Christian church. Mm-hmm. And the thesis there is reexamine it rather than reject it. You know, most people say, hey, I'm done with it. It's top-down, it's hypocritical, it's rules-based, it's, you know, full of bad bad leaders, you know, but it's a human institution, and it's spent 2 millennia working on life's purpose. Yeah. So that's what I mean by examine. You don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
It just is worthwhile looking for those gems of wisdom.
Yeah.
So the reason that the book does not focus on religion is because it didn't work for me. Religion didn't enable me to discover life's purpose.
Oh.
And so it looks at all the reasons why that was so difficult for me. It may be difficult for other people.
Yeah, I mean, I find it difficult to get into organized religion at all as well. I consider myself, we said at the top of the show, to be spiritual, but I do not, I will not join a club where
join the club.
Yeah. On the other hand, but I totally agree. My kids, I told them, I didn't tell them what religion to be. I said, examine every single one of them. Learn about everything, because that's how you learn respect. Because some people think this way, some people think that way. It doesn't mean that we can't all do the same thing. And that's, you know, that's the way I look at it. But yeah, organized religions based on money and prosperity, no. But that doesn't mean you can't be religious.
No, exactly. And when you, the more you examine, the more different mm-hmm. views you examine, mm-hmm. the more you can see, as we talked about earlier, which ones reinforce each other,
mm-hmm.
which ones, you know, lead to something that makes sense. But don't stop, you know. So the book looks at a whole bunch of things, you know. It looks at spirituality, looks at reasoning, looks at atheism, mm-hmm. looks at all the problems that mm-hmm. people have with the church, looks at mm-hmm. Christ. You know, a lot of people, you don't have to be religious mm-hmm. to conclude that, you know, Christ had something going for him. He had some pretty powerful ideas. And so an appendix of the book mm-hmm. does that. It looks at the 400 quotations that Christ made mm-hmm. as recorded in the four Gospels, and then it organizes them by topic so that you can say, well, what did Christ really mean about that? Or what was he saying about this? And that can be a understanding mm-hmm. what most people would say is one of the world's greatest teachers, internalizing what he was trying to get across is another powerful powerful deliverable of the book, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's in the appendix, which mm-hmm. is really a second book.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a website that where you offer even more, I understand.
Well, yeah, the website, what it offers is 5-minute bites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 2 decades of research isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. 2 nights of a read of a book could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more people in the current generation want to see something in 5 minutes
yes.
or less.
Yeah,
like
less.
5 minutes
yeah.
is a long attention span, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So the book, the website offers many things, but two of them that are most powerful is a video channel
mm-hmm.
that takes you through in 5-minute videos, which are best seen in sequence or viewed in sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it also offers a blog, which is growing. Like the blog now is about 2 years in development. And every couple of weeks, I post something, just an idea to think about. What about this? How do you think about that? So it's 5-minute bites. It's called delhsmith.com, so it's pretty easy to find.
Perfect. All right. Okay, so one more time, the website, please.
Del H. Smith. So my middle initial is H.
Right.
So D-E-L-H.
Yep.
Smith,
yep.
S-M-I-T-H. .com.
No, that's easy to remember. And it's Discovering Life's Purpose, Reexamining the Club. Hey, Del, it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
It's been a real pleasure for me, and I really thank you for giving me this time, Ron, and I wish you a good journey.
Excellent. Same to you, Del. All right, that'll do it for me today. I like to talk about things that bring us together, that make us all one, that make us hold each other's hands in peace and love, not for divisions and classifications. That's what I'll say at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been wonderful. Oh my God, you are so nice. Here's what we're going to do. I don't know, you might want to jot this down on a scrap piece of paper. Not a good piece of paper, a scrap piece of paper. I'm going to be back again tomorrow. Oh, yes, I am. With a brand new show. And what I'd like you to do is come to me again tomorrow. And I will have what I call my normal craziness embaked within the program episode. I know. Until then, take care of yourself, enjoy yourself, put a smile on your face, be happy, do the things that make you comfortable and wonderful. And until then, I wish you peace. You like the way I said that? Peace. That was pretty cool.